Okay, so today's Chumash is about the First World War. And it's about some very evil people, very bad people, an axis of evil that ultimately is defeated by the man who stands against everybody, whose name is Avraham. So let's begin now on chapter 14. We're not going to get into the conflict, but we're going to get into the conditions that were in place, which ultimately resulted in this big conflagration. It was in the days of Amraphel. Amraphel is the Melech, the king of Elam, and Sidol, who was Melech Goyim. So Amraphel, the king of Elam, Sidol, the king of Goyim. Who are these people? Where are these places? So Rashi says that Amraphel is an old political figure. We've heard from him before. Who Nimrod? He is Nimrod, who is the king of what's called Shinar, which is Assyria, or Babel, or Iraq, what's today Iraq. Why is he called Amraphel, if his name is Nimrod? So Rashi says, Sha'omar la'Avraham, Nimrod is the one who said, of Avraham, Pol, throw him into the fiery furnace. So because he said, throw him into the fiery furnace, that's why he was the person who was later called as Amraphel or Omar Pul, the one who said, throw him in. Now, the Medrash Rabbah is a little more explicit, and it says that Nimrod is called Amraphel because Amirato Afela, his words were dark. Was a dark person. Now, he was known for incredible rhetoric and the ability to bewitch and really, in a sense, to totally capture people. That's why he's called the Tzayid, he's called the Hunter, because he was able to mesmerize the people with the power, his powers of speech. So what does it mean? Why is Amrasi Afela? Why is his speech dark? Because he made many wicked decrees. Amongst his wicked decrees, he decreed himself to be a god. He decreed idolatry to be the only path to follow. The one who would stand in the way of idolatry would be put to death. And indeed, Omar Pul. So Rashi chooses the Medrash, which is a little bit closer to our narrative, which is about Avraham Avinu. And he says, that's why the Torah emphasizes his name is Amraphel. Where is Shinar? The Targum calls Shinar Bavel, which would be modern-day Iraq. Who is Sidol? Sidol, it's a name. We don't know. Sidol is not a previously known figure. He's not an establishment guy we know about. However, the question is, where is Goyim? Shinar, we said, is Bavel. So where's, or Elam. But where's Goyim? Goyim just means nations. So Rashi says, it does not mean that Sidol was the king of many nations or many amalgamated states. But rather, Mokim Yesh Sheshmoy Goyim. There is a place called Goyim. Why is the place called Goyim? Goyim is plural for nations. A Goy is a nation. Goyim is nations. Al Shem Sheniskab Tzushama Mikama Umais. Because this was a place where a number of different nations had come together under a single flag or under a single governance. And because there was a place which was of many, many nations, that's why Himlichu ish aleihem, they together appointed a king over them, Ushmoy Tidol. So this was like the word Goyim in modern syntax, like the United States. Different nations, different provinces came together as a single nation. Why do we talk about these kings first? So the Torah says Amraphel was the Godel Bishanim. He was the oldest in years. He had been around for a very long time. The Sepharno says that Amraphel was the most famous, the most well-known amongst all of them. The Bar Basoda says that Amraphel was the guy who got everybody involved. He convinced them all to do this. He was the one who incited all the other kings. Okay, who were these other kings? We don't really hear much about the other kings. We do know that there was a fellow named Arioch, and Arioch is Melech Elasar. We know there's a fellow named Kedar La'im. Pardon me, I skipped that before in the pasuk. I apologize. Aryeh Melech Alasa, Rashi does not comment on him. Although, in the Medrash Rabbah, it says that Elasar is Antuchia, or Antioch, which I believe is what we would call Assyria today. And the Medrash Rabbah also says that Elam, Kedar La'imer, who is the king of Elam, this is Madai, this is Persian. So, just to recap this Pasuk, we have Amraphel, who is in modern-day Iraq. We have Aryeh, who is modern-day Syria. We have Elasar, where we have Kedar La'imer, who is from the modern-day Iran, and Sidol Melech Goyim is from a collection of United States, which are around the southern area in Eretz Yisrael, probably the areas of Arabia. It's probably the closest approximation.
All Middle East.
All Middle East, yeah, everything in the Middle East. So what happened to these kings? Asu Milchama. They declared war with Bera, who's the king of Sodom. We all know what Sodom is. Ve'ez Birsha, Melech Amora. We kind of know where Amora is because Sodom and Amora border one on the other. Shinov, Melech Adma. Shinov was the king of a place called Adma, which we're going to have to assume is like in the southern area of Eretz Yisrael. Em Shem Eiver, Melech Tzivoyim. And then there is a Melech Bela Hutzayer. So let's try to understand this pasuk a little bit. Here we talked about Amraphel, we talked about who he is. The other names are inconsequential. But here Rashi says the names are consequential. Bera comes from the terminology Ra. Ra means bad. Bad man. What does it mean? Bera. Bera means Bezra. Two. He was bad on two accounts. Ra la Shamayim. He rebelled against God and he mistreated his fellow humans. Bad guy. And then there's Birsha. Birsha, as the Rebbe explains it, is if Bera, the Mefarshim tell us, is Beis Ra, two kinds of bad, so Birsha is Beis Resha, two kinds of wicked. And what's the difference between Ra and Resha? Ra is bad, Resha is evil or wicked. And he says that's because Shenis Ala Berishai, because he was really wicked. There was bad, and then there was really wicked. Bersha was really wicked, much more wicked than was the bad one. So we have bad and worse. Shinov, what's Shinov? Also a very bad guy. Shinov is a conjunction of two Hebrew words. Sone Av, hates the father. Who's the father? Sone Aviv Shobashamayim. He hates his father in heaven. Shem Eiver. Shem Eiver is a conjunction of two words. Som Eiver. He tried to add an additional limb to his body. What limb did he try to add? Wings. He used to fly in a glider. And the reason he did this was La'oif u'likpeitz, to try to fly the high skies. V'limrei b'akadosh baruch hu. In this way, he tried to soar above, so to speak, the presence of God. And he thought in this way, he could control God. So this is a real basket of deplorables. Really terrible guys. These guys are taka bad.
These are the basket.
These that are really... This is the real basket of deplorables. Now, Bela, Rashi says, is Shem Ha'ir. It's the name of a small province kingdom. And we don't know who the name... The king's name is not even mentioned. Whatever, whoever he was. Why isn't his name mentioned? So Ramban says because he was like a king of a little tiny fiefdom, a little like Monaco. And maybe they had probably a very wealthy country, but it was...
Yimach Shemo. Yimach Shemo, his name got wiped out.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say that, actually. It doesn't say his name got wiped out because he was so bad. The other guys were really bad, but this guy, he was inconsequential. He didn't have any global or outward persona. He wasn't recognized. The Shari Aran says that he wasn't so bad yet. So all these people were glorified evildoers. Their names reflected their bad qualities. He didn't manage to get so bad yet. So he didn't earn himself a really evil name. He didn't, you know, it's like he didn't get a reputation yet. He's working on his reputation. Although in the Kalar Abasi, it says that the king's name was Bela. But that does not seem to be the Pshuto Shel Mikra, because when you read the Pasuk, literally, it says Melech Bela. It doesn't say Melech Hamrafel. Melech Bela would mean the king of Bela. So it's the king of Bela, which Bela is Tzoyer. The Pasuk goes on to describe in detail how the board kind of got arranged. So there was a war game over here. Kol Eilu Chavru al Eimek Hasidim. These all came into the area which is called Eimek Hasidim. Eimek Hasidim is Yam HaMelech. So Rashi says, why is it called Eimek Hasidim? Kach Shmai, that's his name. It doesn't go into the details. And he says the reason is the word Sidim. Sidim comes from the word Sadeh. Many fields. Many fields, that's his name. Hashem Shoyu Besadis Harbe, because there were many, many, many fields. A large open area filled with fields was a very, very verdant and a place that was filled with tremendous growth.
Jordan Valley.
The Jordan Valley. Yeah, that's exactly where it is. There are many, many different ways of interpreting this idea of Emek Hasidim and what it might mean. For example, the Medrash Rabbah tells us that it comes from the word Sadon, and this was it was an industrial area, tremendous amount of industrial activity. And Ibn Ezra follows a different Medrash that says that this was a place of Sid, it was a place where you could get lime and plaster from. So it's very different. Either it was an industrial area or a farming area, but at any rate, it was an important area. It was an area of economic boom. In any way you look at it. Hu Yam HaMelech, one second. If it's a lot of fields, then it can't be the Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech has no fields. And it can't be a lot of industry, because only until recently, when the Israelis figured out that you could make shampoo and soap out of the Yam HaMelech, the Yam HaMelech for a very long time had nothing going on there. There was no activity there. So Rashi says, no. The Yam HaMelech is what it is now. He's La'ach HaZman Nimshach HaYam L'Techei. At some point, the sea crept in there, the sea flowed into there. Venasa Yam HaMelech, it became a Yam HaMelech. The Medrash Agada says that Nisbaku Hatsurim, the tectonic plates of that area cracked open. And what happened was, there was because Hashem turned over this particular part of the world where the Sodomites live. It says Hashem flipped the tectonic plate, what we would call an earthquake of unimaginable proportion. And then there was gopherus, there was sulfur that rained from heaven. So what happened was that with the tectonic plates cracked, nimshechu ya'oirim l'teichai. So various rivers seeped through and gathered together, and that's what created what the world calls the Dead Sea, what we call Yam HaMelech. At any rate, hu Yam HaMelech, according to Radak, it could be the Jordan Valley, as you said. What's near Yam HaMelech, but Rashi on a literal level says that, doesn't say near Yam HaMelech, it says it is Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech is not a place of activity. Here we describe a place of great activity, so it must be that this later changed. The typography changed, the use of this particular part of the world became very different. So this was the war theater. This is where everybody gathered. And we had Shtei Masrei Shana of Duas Kedar La'Omer. For 12 years, these kings had served Kedar La'Omer. And Shleisha Seishana Maradu, and in 13 years, they rebelled. What does this mean? Shteima Seishana Avadu, who, Rashi says, Chamisha Malachim Alalu, these five kings were busy serving Kedar La'imer. So, interestingly, Kedar La'imer is not the first one mentioned, but nonetheless, he was the guy who exerted the real power. He was the power. So this was a rebellion against the Persian Empire of the day. Persia of the day. Now the Medrash Rabbah has two opinions. What this means, that the 13 years they rebelled. Rabbi Yossi says that they rebelled for 13 years. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says they were subservient for 12 years and rebelled on the 13th year. At any rate, at some point they rebelled. And what does it mean they rebelled? It means they stopped paying tribute. They used to pay tribute, they used to pay tax, what the mafia calls protection money, and then they decided no more. And when that happened, at some point, those who were in the power seat, who had been exacting tribute and tax, decided to declare war, which is beyond the purview of the time we have for this morning. But what we are going to do is take a look at the names of these kings, the kings who went to war against the Sodomite kings. So Rashi explained in detail how we have Bera and Birsha and Shinov and Shem Ever. All of these names are about rebelling against God. Page Kuf Samach Dalet, Simen Yud Aleph. Rashi is quoted here, the Rashi that we learned, and the Rebbe's comment is like this. Es Shmeisehem Shel Shinov V'Shem Ever, the names Shinov and Shem Ever, Rashi only explains in the syntax of a merida, of a rebellion, b'malchus shamayim. So let me refresh your memories for those who just joined us. Beis ra, two evils, or the two evils, bad to his fellow person, bad to God, rebelled against God, rebelled against decency and justice. Birsha, beis resha. This ala berisha became even worse, but it's beis resha. Okay. When it comes to Shinov, it's Soina Av, hates the father. It doesn't say he abuses people. Shem Aver is some Aver. He tried to fly. He tried to glide into victory against God, but it doesn't say he hated people. So with regard to the second, the latter two names, Shinov and Shem Aver, we hear of rebellion against God. But when it comes to the first two, Bera and Birsha, so when it comes to Bera and Birsha, we hear about Beis Resha. We hear about two evils, the two different kinds of evil, evil in their violation of human rights. So the Rebbe says, and this is a chiddush, even though I read it into Rashi because I know the sikh from the Rebbe, but there's a chiddush. The Rebbe, none of the Farshim say this. The Rebbe explains that just like Bera is Beis Ra, Birsha is Beis Resha. Okay. V'nimtza comes out. Sheyesh hevdel klali, that there is a general difference between arbas hamalochim, between the four kings, Bera and Bersha, the ones who are the rulers of Sodom and Amorah, and then the other kings, which are who ruled over Adma and Tzveim. The people of Sodom and Amorah, Hirshiu, they were bad, ben adam lamokim, insofar as their relationship with God was concerned. The gam bin adam lachaveira. They were also terrible in the way they treated their fellow human. However, Shinov and Shemever, the kings of Adma and Tzveim, respectfully, Hirshiu, their wickedness was rak bin adam lamokim. The yesh leimer, the Rebbe suggests, she is nahagusam shel hamalochim, hishpiu gam al toishve oreihem, that the behavior of the sovereign, of the political leader, had a tremendous impact on the citizenry. The citizenry is impacted by the leadership. Kach, so, Sherishas Adma Utsveim, that the evil that permeated the societies of Adma and Tzveim, Hoysa Be'iker B'chatoyim Ben Adam Lamokim, their evil was in their atheism, in their denial of God, in their war against God and divinely ordained morality. They declared war against everything that was goodly and godly, but only on a spiritual level, only on what was relevant for their relationship with God. However, the societies of Sodom and Amorah were wicked and rotten in a double fashion. They were a rakofel. Hein la shamayim, the hein la bris. They were bad to heaven, so to speak. They rebelled against God. They had no God consciousness. They had an anger, and a war with God, if you will. And they also treated their fellow with horrible, terrible attitudes. Abused their fellow. Took advantage of their fellow. They were entirely corrupt on all levels. Bekach yuvan diuk haloshen. Now that we established this, so we began, we talked about this axis of evil. This is the axis. The allies fought the axis. The allies are not such big tzaddikim either. The allies in modern times are not such big tzaddikim. And the allies here weren't such big tzaddikim. Amraphel Nimrod was a dark man. No, don't get too excited. Now, what do you think? Roosevelt is a big tzaddik? The camps, the trains were going. He couldn't be bothered. A single sword wasn't flown against him. The allies are no great tzaddikim then either. But their evil paled in comparison to the axis. So here we have the allies versus the axis. And the axis of evil is all rotten, all evil. It's evil in the beginning. The first two kings are Beis Resha, Bera, Bezra, two evils. And then the guy was even worse than that, Bezresha, a double evil on two sides. And they were joined with two other evil kings. But their evil, the secondary evil, was only evil against God. It was not evil against a fellow human. So we're going to read in the same, very, very same parsha. The pasuk says, Zakas Sedoim va'amoira. The cry, in next week's parsha, pardon me. We're going to hear about the cry of Sodom va'amoira. So, one second. Why doesn't it say the cry of Sodom va'amoira, Adma utzeveim? How can we skip out half of the provinces? These are all different countries. Very, very, very fertile areas. Extremely successful. Huge economic prosperity. Geographically very small. We only mentioned two. And the answer is, me'achasha pasuk ze, because that pasuk is Isaac, is engaged with the discussion of chatoyim sheben adam l'chaveri. That's how bad they were to their fellow. As Rashi is going to tell us in next week's parsha, when it says, zaakas, to cry, that there was a young girl who was actually kind to somebody. And they said, oh, you're so sweet. Come, let's make you sweeter. And they stripped her. They covered her with honey. And they tied her down and left her for the bees to eat for lunch. And she was stung thousands, maybe tens of thousands of times by bees until she died screaming, horrible, blood-curdling screams. And the people thought it was very funny. They said, we'll teach her to be sweet. So this idea, it says that's the worst evil they did. They did even other evils. They actually committed acts of murder. This, they didn't kill her directly. They killed her indirectly. But the Mefarshim explained that was the straw that broke the camel's back, proverbially speaking. That was the ultimate evil. That caused everything to crash. Those cries tore open the heavens. So when it says Zakas Deim Va'amoira, it's not speaking about their atheism. It's not speaking about their anti-God agenda. It's speaking about their anti-fellow human being agenda. How they tortured people. And that's why it doesn't say Zakas Deim Va'amoira Adma Utzveim, because Adma and Tzveim were just the anti-God people. Whereas Deim Va'amoira was two evils. Bera, two evils. Birsha, Bezresha, two wickednesses. And since that's what ultimately sealed their fate, it wasn't their anti-God attitude. What sealed their fate was the way they horribly mistreated their fellow. And me'achash ha-pasuk zeh, oisik b'chatoyim sheben adam l'chaveirei, that's what the pasuk's talking about. That's what tipped the scale. That's why nizkiru bo'i raksadei v'amayra. And that's why we don't have mentioned adma utzeveyim. And interestingly, we're going to see in next week's parsha that there was a difference in the punishment also. Ad Sedoim Va'amoira, it says, not only were the tectonic plates flipped, but they were also scorched in fire. Whereas Adma and Tzveim, it just says they were flipped, but the rain of fire did not come down. So we see there's a difference between one evil and two evils.
Doesn't the first lead to the second eventually?
Doesn't the first lead to the second eventually? Not necessarily. We are living in an extraordinarily godless society. Mm-hmm. Extraordinarily godless society. And yet, in the Western world, for the most part, there is a tremendous amount of emphasis on human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And people believe...
But we did have a Holocaust.
Yes, we did have a Holocaust. I'm talking about the post-Holocaust era. Okay? And I'm saying in the last years, the United States has been on a very, very slippery slope. But the Rebbe used to call the United States a Malchus Shel Chesed. It's a kingdom of kindness. Mm-hmm. Every time there was a natural disaster, who helped?
Israel.
Yeah, I know Israel. Israel followed, and the U.S. followed them. But seriously, this is an unprecedented thing that a superpower did not take an exact tribute, but rather a superpower was actually trying to help people. So this is a good thing. And this is what makes, justice is what makes countries like the United States and Canada tick. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And therefore, you're right. Ultimately, when there's no God, it turns against man too. Eventually, you're right. It will go that way.
Sure.
Right? Social,
no compass,
you know, the national socialists of the previous era did not do very well. And right. But reality is, though, that at present we had Bezra and Birsha. That was Sedoim Va'amoira. Adma and Tzveim were not guilty of that kind of thing.
What's the greater sin? Against God or against your fellow?
What's
man?
The greater sin? This is a complicated discussion. Ultimately, it seems that your sin against your fellow human is far worse, because the last week's parsha, when they built the tower to fight God, God simply dispersed them.
Right.
when they violated human rights, God sent the Mabul.
That's right.
And so most people are even unaware of Ad
Mitzvah. Right, most people don't even know about Ad Mitzvah. Because you know why? Because the truth is that until the wickedness becomes so pernicious and so infectious that it basically causes a total breakdown, which is Beis Ra, so the evil is not remembered in that fashion. And indeed, the great evils of the last century was Nazism and communism. And notably, both of those were evil, both they were anti-God and they were anti-fellow human.
There's no parallels to Ahavas Yisrael?
This has nothing to do with the lofty ideas of Ahavas Yisrael. This is not Yisrael. These are not Jewish people. It's really not. It's really not. Human rights and love your fellow is actually not the same at all. Because human rights is about my rights. And love your fellow is about my responsibility.
Obligations.
One is about me, and one is about you. And the Torah says we should focus less on human rights and more about human responsibilities. We're responsible with this. But anyway, that's a conversation that can be continued. Shkoyach.